Welcome to Australian Women Preach, a podcast that aims to raise women's voices in preaching the gospel. Our intention is to model the church we want to be, inclusive, diverse, and welcoming. Brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. Elizabeth Dowling is a Sister of Mercy who lives in Ballarat, Victoria. She has a lifelong commitment to education, working in the secondary, tertiary and adult sectors. After completing doctoral studies in 2005, Elizabeth lectured for 10 years in biblical studies at Australian Catholic University. She's published a monograph and many journal articles and book chapters on the Gospels, particularly the Gospel of Luke. Currently, she's offering biblical workshops and retreats.
Hello, everyone. I'm speaking today from Wathaurong land, and I wish to acknowledge the traditional owners of this land and the traditional owners of all the lands inhabited by people who will listen to this podcast. I pay my respect to their elders, past, present, and emerging. Today I will be speaking on Mark chapter 1, verses 12 to 15, the Gospel for the first Sunday of Lent. In 1991, I attended my very first theology class, and the lecturer told the class a story about her niece, who was the mother of a three-year-old daughter. One day, while the mother was busy baking in the kitchen, the little girl ran to her mother and said, "Mummy, where's God?" Her distracted mother simply replied, "God's everywhere." The little girl continued, "Is God in this house?" And the mother said, "Yes." "Is God in this kitchen?" The mother replied, "Yes, God is in this kitchen." The little girl picked up a cup and said, "Is God in this cup?" Her busy mother answered, "Yes, yes, God is in the cup." The little girl stared intently at the cup and then quickly put her hand over the top of it, saying, "Got him." For me, this is a really important story, and that explains why I still remember it more than 30 years later. I think that we sometimes try to capture God, box God in, putting tight boundaries around our understanding. The fact that a three-year-old has already learnt to refer to God as He gives one example of the ways in which we limit God with our language. In today's gospel reading, Jesus exhorts his listeners to think differently. Perhaps an invitation to take their hands from the top of the cup and to allow their understanding of God and God's kingdom to expand. Immediately before the verses of today's gospel, Mark narrates the baptism of Jesus, and we are told that the Spirit descends like a dove on Jesus. Then, at the beginning of our gospel reading, we read that the Spirit drives Jesus out into the wilderness where he is tested. In the Celtic tradition, the Spirit is sometimes imaged as a wild goose. Such an image provides a contrast with that of the dove, an icon of peace. When I think of a wild goose, I picture a bird that is honking to capture my attention and is perhaps even chasing me. The Spirit who drives Jesus out into the wilderness seems to be more wild goose than dove in this verse. Unlike Matthew and Luke, Mark provides little detail about the testing of Jesus in the wilderness. It would appear, though, that the honking of the Spirit helps him come through this experience well, because he emerges from that testing time to begin proclaiming the good news. We read that Jesus begins his public ministry by proclaiming the good news of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe in the good news." These are the first words of Jesus that we find in this gospel, so I want to focus on them. When the original Greek word basileia appears in our gospels, it is usually translated as kingdom or reign, referring to the prevailing power. The term basileia of God then becomes kingdom of God or reign of God. Some biblical scholars prefer to translate basileia as empire, with the intention of contrasting the empire of God with the empire of Rome, highlighting that God's power and way of being in and with the world is the antithesis of the power asserted by the Roman Empire in the time of Jesus. In 1996, Ada Maria Isasi Diaz, a Cuban-American theologian, wrote about the term kingdom, K-I-N, kingdom of God. Listen to her explanation of why she does not use the usual translation kingdom, and I quote, "First, it is obviously a sexist word that presumes that God is male. Second, the concept of kingdom in our world today is both hierarchical and elitist, as is the word reign. The word kingdom makes it clear that when the fullness of God becomes a day-to-day reality in the world at large, we will all be sisters and brothers, kin to each other. We will indeed be the family of God." End quote. I love this image of kingdom of God. Kingdom is all about right relationship and connection. Isasi Diaz invites us to recognize that we are all sisters and brothers, kin to each other. Writing in the mid-1990s, I wonder if Isasi Diaz was speaking here about the human community, or whether she envisaged a wider context. Pope Francis, in both Laudato Si and his more recent Laudate Deum, highlights the interconnectedness, the kinship of all of creation. With this understanding, the term Kingdom of God evokes an image of earth and the entire earth community flourishing together as part of an expanding universe, and in the words of Elizabeth Johnson, altogether filled with the glory of God. Pope Francis calls us to ecological conversion, to change the way we relate to all of creation, to make possible and to promote the flourishing of all. This brings us back again to today's gospel reading. As Jesus begins his public ministry by proclaiming that the kingdom of God has come near, Jesus also calls his hearers, and therefore us, to repent, a call to think differently, to change our understanding, leading to a change in the way we act. Jesus is calling us to conversion. As the gospel progresses, we see from Jesus' teaching, particularly his parables, that Jesus is calling us to understand God differently. Often we are confident that we know God and how God operates, but Jesus challenges us to expand our understanding and to live differently as a result. We might say to take our hand from the top of the cup and to think beyond the limitations that we put on God. As we read or hear today's gospel at the beginning of this season of Lent, we might be reminded to listen to the Spirit in and with us. Perhaps like the dove that gently leads us, or perhaps like the wild goose that is more loudly urging us to respond. Both invite us to conversion. Each of us could ask of ourselves, how is the honking of the wild goose prompting me to respond to those in pain, to those affected by war, by injustice, by poverty, by illness, by loneliness, by the effects of climate change, for example? How can I help to bring about the kingdom of God and promote the flourishing of earth and the entire earth community? How is the dove gently calling me to think in new ways about God? How do I choose to live during this Lenten season?
You have been listening to Australian Women Preach, brought to you by WATAC, Women and the Australian Church, and The Grail in Australia. You can find out more about WATAC at watac.net.au and The Grail at grailaustralia.org.au. The music in this podcast is from the song Truth, from the album Into Silence, by songwriter, musician, theologian and teacher Danielle Ann Lynch. You can hear the full version on Spotify.